is Tansley Stearns?
Tansley Stearns is your greatest challenger and biggest cheerleader.
Inspirational human being who loves people.
Future forward leadership.
Tansley Stearns is a badass.
Tansley Stearns is my mom, my hero, and I love her very much.
I am Tansley Stearns, and this is Despite Impossible. I am a longtime credit union executive leading Community Financial as president and CEO. I have always admired and been inspired by people whose passion is boundless and who don't comprehend the word impossible. This show focuses on their stories. Today's guest is Kelly Boddy, president and CEO at Truemark Financial Credit Union in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. She weaves her love for Taylor Swift and 90s rock into everything she does. This is Kelly's story.
Who is Kelly Boddy?
This is a very hard question for me to answer right now because I feel like my identity has changed about 100 times in a year. But I think I like to define myself as a good friend, first and foremost. And I mean that to a friend to all, right? So my children, my husband, my family. And I think what that means to me is just being loyal and honest and kind wherever I can be. So I think that's how I will define myself today.
I love that. Finish this sentence for me. The world will be a better place when?
People choose kindness over greatness.
Well that's said.
Today. Yeah.
When you're at your happiest, most joyful times you're listening to?
Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yes.
What's your favorite tune? Do you have a fave?
Oh, right now, I think I'm just playing like the Evermore soundtrack on repeat. So like, that's just been where I'm at. But it's hard for me to pick a Taylor Swift song because there's so many versions of it. You know, yes. Like there's a song for every day of the week.
It's true.
Yeah.
Is there one album you'll listen to from first song to last?
Evermore. Always. Okay. Always. Okay. Yes, that's my go-to, like cleaning the house, concentrating. There's just a vibe to that music that I love so much.
Tell me about a time you laughed out loud recently.
Oh, so I have an 8-year-old son and the hormones are alive and well in third grade and very surprising. So he came home last week and told us that a fifth girl has a crush on him in his class. And he is now being referred to as the Crush King.
That is miraculous. The Crush King. Yes.
I said, it only gets harder from here, my friend. So
yes.
Take it in while you can. So we can't stop calling him. We're like, we're going to make t-shirts. I mean, like, it's just
you need to. Like,
the Crush King. So yeah, it's hysterical. Yes.
I love it. I love it. Fun. When was the last time you danced so hard that your feet were sore?
My brother-in-law's brother-in-law had a milestone birthday not too long ago, and they brought a 90s rock cover band, which is my jam. If it's either Taylor Swift or 90s rock, like there's no like in between for me. And we just danced the entire night. It was so much fun.
That's so great.
Yeah, it was really fun. But dancing is like a huge part of my life. Like we dance all the time. I dance here at work. I dance everywhere. So yeah, always dancing.
When you feel down, you heal by?
Cocooning in. Mm-hmm. So I used to do aerial yoga like a long time ago. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's really fun. It sounds more intimidating than it actually is. Like if you can do regular yoga, you can do aerial yoga. Okay. And whenever I'm stressed out, I think of being in there, instead of doing like Shavasana, you lay in the cocoon and it's just like really like a protected space. And so whenever I'm feeling stressed, I think about that space. So I like try to find like a sheltered space where I can just go inward with myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm an introvert by like, I guess, energy level. So finding that time to relax and recharge is really helpful for me. So that's where I go.
Body helps us see the connection between aerial yoga and what we can do to heal in our everyday lives. She cocoons in, like the resting pose in aerial yoga, when she feels stress and tries to find a sheltered space where she can look inward. Finding the time to relax and recharge is key.
Inside, who's someone you look up to?
My dad. He was single dad, three daughters. You know, a lot of healing for us, and he managed that so well and kept us afloat and kept us going, and just has dealt with a lot of adversity in his life with such grace and resilience and good spirit. And so he's like my North Star for all of that.
Yeah. What's a mantra you live by?
Strong truths well lived. So it's my college motto. And what it means to me and what it means externally are two different things, but I think of them both equally. So the motto is about taking your passions and putting them to work, right? So using your passions for the betterment of the world that you live in. And that's always been a really important part of me as a human. But it also, to me, means to lead from where you stand. And, you know, we have to be strong in our convictions and our values. And, you know Tansley so well. Being a leader is doing a lot of hard things, a lot, and making hard decisions. And so I think of that motto often because it is a really good inner compass for me.
Tell us about your impossible.
Oh, so I think there have been a lot of points in my life that I've defied odds, and I don't think of things in terms that this is a really hard question for me because I don't think in things of terms of possible and impossible. And I'm a literal person. So I was like really focused on the definition of impossible. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think for me, what I've always focused on is creating the world that I want to live in. Right. Mm. And I hope that doesn't come across as like very egotistical. That's not what I mean at all. But I mean, I've always looked for finding spaces where I can be myself and live authentically, that I can, you know, share joy with, you know, the people that are around me. And so I think there have just been a lot of things in my life that I've overcome and always have had that in mind, like designing the life that I've wanted to live. And I feel from where I sit today, I feel really proud of what I've created for my family and my children, and so proud of the work that we're doing here and at Trumark Financial. And I think that that's the impossible for me. I don't think I ever thought that I would have seen that happen at such an early point in my life. And that's a real privilege.
What are some of the challenges you faced that seemed insurmountable?
I think the things that I think the thing that I had to navigate the most was my own confidence. And I think from that place, I often was probably the barrier between myself and my dreams because I didn't have the confidence in myself to believe in myself and my capabilities and what I could accomplish. And I'm still working on that, huge work in progress there. But I think I'm better about it now than I've ever been. And more assured that in who I am. And I think that that really required a lot of work, right? And I'm very fortunate that I'm surrounded by people who always give me that feedback and help me grow and help me find that place in myself where I can be strong in my convictions and humble enough to ask for help when I need it. And I think that's the biggest challenge that I've experienced in my life is finding that confidence and belief in who I am. That's why your first question was a tough one, Tansley.
That's really? So funny.
Who am I?
Right. Yes.
Still learning.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I don't know about you, but for me, I've spent so much of my life defining myself through my work. And ironically,
oh my gosh, yes.
Earning this seat has caused me to think about that very differently.
Oh my God. I know this is your podcast, but can you tell me about that?
Yeah. So, you know, I spent 25 years really very, very, very committed to credit unions and built this dream to become a CEO. Yeah. And sitting in this seat is amazing and such an honor. And it's a privilege to serve. And right. It's caused me to realize that there are other parts of my life that I wish to pay attention to, and that the identity that I carry is much bigger than mm-hmm. a credit union.
You know, it's, I was just doing some reading on, and thank you so much for sharing that, because I relate to that so hard. Mm-hmm. And I was just doing this really, some interesting reading, because we're about to embark on a whole strategic plan redesign this summer. And, you know, thinking about bold visions and like, what does that mean? And I was thinking about it in the terms of a corporate context, but there's so much that we need to apply personally, right? Agreed. Like we compartmentalize yes. these parts of ourselves and mm-hmm. really like it's all encompassing. That's why I get so mad about like work-life balance questions. Yes. Cause it's yes. life. Like it's life. Like all of it is life and yes. there's no balance. Yes. It's just yes. life. Yes. And, you know, I just think that having those bold visions for ourselves mm-hmm. and not just our company is, I think, what makes you such a special person in this world and what a gift you are to your organization.
Thank you, friend.
Yeah. And community.
Was there ever a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
No. Yeah. I'm a very determined person. So, I mean, there were hard days. I will not underestimate. There are hard days and sometimes it feels like rock climbing, you know, and with just your hands. But I don't think there was ever a point that I ever thought about folding it in. Changing the direction, sure. Changing the approach, yes. But no, I'm gritty.
Can you tell us about a story where something went bananas that now you can look back upon and laugh?
So I have a funny story to tell about this. Oh, so
I love this.
Yeah, this is a good question. It really made me think. So, because there's like, I feel like right now, everything is bananas, right? So like, yes. like everything is bananas. I still find humor in everything. Like laughing is just like my way of getting through it all. But I will tell you a story about childbirth.
Yes.
So I, with my first son, I decided that I wanted to give birth without medication.
Yes.
Because I was very curious about what childbirth felt like. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I just want to figure it out. Like, I didn't have a plan. I didn't think about it other than just to say, I sort of wanted to challenge my own pain tolerance and figure out how I could get through it. Okay. So it was a very weird academic experiment for me. Well, newsflash, it hurts a lot. Okay. Like a lot. Okay. It was really painful, very painful. Uh-huh. And so I, in addition to having contractions, was also vomiting. And so my husband was trying to bring over a bucket for me to throw up in, and he tripped. And the bucket that he had actually was an ice bucket. So as I am giving birth, I am fully drenched in ice water, covered from head to toe.
Oh my gosh.
And like my son was born probably 30 seconds later. So it was like really fun. It was a really fun.
It's such a great story.
It was bananas, but also yes. it's a very funny story. So yeah, that's my point of view. We should have put like a news flash, like, oh, yes! TMI for everybody.
No, yeah. I love that. I had the same thought. So I'm a marathon runner, and mm-hmm. when and we worked very hard to have Mackenzie because we had mm-hmm. some challenges. And so when I got pregnant, I was very determined. I'm like, I can run marathons. I can have a baby without any medication. Yeah. And I listened to hypnobirthing. Like I had done all the things.
Yes.
And then I was not ready to do it without an epidural. And in fact, when the epidemiologist came in and he was putting the shot in, I was like, you're my favorite person ever.
No, but truly, like, honestly, like, I don't know. Like, and like, I was saying, and like, my sister and I are very competitive, right? So when she goes to give birth, I'm like, listen, it's not worth it. And like the second time I also had an unmedicated delivery, but that was an accident. I just got to the hospital too late. And my son just came out in a second.
Yeah.
But I said to my sister, I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's like, just like they have medication so you can have an enjoyable experience.
Yes.
When the baby came out of me, I was like, like there was no joy. There was just relief. Like,
it's so great.
I know. So great. I know. It's hard. It's hard work.
It's so hard. It's so hard. Yes. Oh
my God. Did you have a long labor too?
Yes, over 24 hours.
Oh my God.
For hours. Yeah. It was brutal.
They
made me go home several times because they were not ready to admit me.
The things we do for these children.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Mackenzie's very lucky to have you as a mama.
Thank you.
Body tells us that the challenges she deals with most frequently are not actually steps or processes, it's expectations and how to live up to them. Both the ones she sets for herself and the ones others set for her. But she works hard to not let those expectations define her or her work.
So achieving your impossible is one thing, but there are no fairy tale endings. Mm-hmm. We meet milestones, we keep going. What challenges is your impossible still facing?
You know, that's a really good question. And I think I'm challenged every day by new things. And I think that there's, you know, but I would say like my challenge that I deal with the most frequently are expectations. Mm. Because, you know, both the ones that I set, the ones that, you know, are set for like that other sets for me. And honestly, expectations from like society in general, right? So about like what it means to be a mother and what it means to be a wife in 2023 and what it means to be a female leader, right? There's lots of expectations that are set there. And so I think that the challenge that I have are finding reasonable expectations, but also not letting those expectations define what success looks like for me. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and I think honestly, you and I probably could go on a whole rabbit hole on this, but like, I'm sure you're a pole vaulter. I'm a pole vaulter too. So you read, you know, literally your podcast, Despite Impossible, right? Yep. We hit it, we said it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you know, that's kind of like the shtick. And I think that that comes with a cost, right? To your mental health, it comes at a cost to your family, your friends, I mean, there's so many trade-offs that come when you are a high achiever. Right. Yep. And, you know, so I think that that's what I would say I'm most challenged by right now is managing expectations. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And mostly my own.
Yeah. I love the way you said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's your advice for folks to face their fear of inaction and use that fire in their bellies to meet their impossible dreams?
I think I was just listening to this like really interesting podcast about motivation and discipline. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people think when you're a high achiever, you're extremely motivated.
Mm.
And you are, but not always. Right. And so the in between, and this guy was just on another credit union podcast recently, and he was, I'm blanking on his name, so I will have to find it to give credit to
that's
him.
Great.
But, but when you're highly motivated, that's sometimes, but your discipline is what carries you through when your motivation lags.
Yes.
And that, I think that's the best advice I can give people is that you have to know that you're not always going to be highly motivated. right? To do impossible things. But if you have the tenacity and the discipline, it will carry you through those lulls. So just keep going is one thing, but just keep on it is what I would say.
Yes. Well, and I think of it as micro goals too, right? Like I ran for an hour this morning and to your point, I did not wish to get up at 3:50 and run. I wished to stay in my bed, but I'm disciplined and I did it. Yeah. And 10 minutes in, I was like, this really stinks and I don't want to do 50 more minutes, but it's like, I'll do 10 more.
I mean, maybe I should try that because I only run when I'm being chased. So I'll start with that. Yeah. Maybe I'll become a runner now.
Yes. 10 minutes at a time.
That's it. Or just have someone chase me for 10 minutes.
Yes. What's your next impossible, my friend?
Such a good question. I think what's next? You know, my big bold vision is for is to create a community, right? And what I mean by that is I just think there's so many beautiful things that come from belonging and from a place where we are of service to one another. And you know, when I think of what my next impossible is, it's that my team members and I will define what we do here, community first, financial institution second. Mm-hmm. And that's ironic because of the name of your credit union, but that's...
Yes, exactly.
But that is my goal. I didn't even think about that. That was really funny. But but that's what I hope. I hope that they think of themselves as a community before all else. Yeah.
Love that.
So that's my next impossible. What's yours?
You know, I hope that this next season becomes about how my very 12-year-old view of the world, right? I do, you know, you talked about being very practical. I am very impractical in my view of the world. I see things in impossibilities and I see the vibrancy of what can happen. And I hope that while I think sometimes people hear me talk about impossible and they hear me dreaming and they think, I'm not even sure what she's talking about or whether or not they make sense. I hope that in this next season, I invite more people to see the world through those eyes and that that allows particularly credit unions, but maybe even beyond that to move away from what is a time of, I see fear. I see a leaning towards safety and narrowing our focus where I think we could be bolder and create more impact if we could see the world a little more vibrantly.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that. Seeing good. I mean, like it's just, oh, I love that so much. And I can tell how much that means to you. Thanks for sharing that.
This concludes today's episode. For exclusive content, visit us at despiteimpossible.com and subscribe to this podcast.